discussing the issue of medicine on Shabbos. So we pointed out that Chazal did institute a prohibition on taking medicine on Shabbos, but they limited that iser to certain cases. Right? Let's just get back into the swing of things over here. Where does this iser apply and where does it not apply? Yeah, we distinguish between the case of mechush ba'alma as opposed to an actual chola, even a chola she'ein bo sakana. What's mechush ba'alma? Okay, a person who is suffering from discomfort, but he's not actually sick. What about if a a chola she'ein bo sakana? Okay, but he's actually sick, even if there's no threat to his life. So you can't be mechal Shabbos for such a person, but the Chachamim never applied their gzeira against medicine in such a case. So how do you draw the line between somebody who just suffers from mechush ba'alma, discomfort, as opposed to somebody who's actually sick? So we said, what's the definition of sick, al pi halacha?
Doctor prescribes you medicine.
Okay, that was another. Okay, fine.
If you feel leading to becoming sick.
Okay, those are other cases, right, where you're not actually sick right now. I'm asking, what's the definition of sick? As opposed to uncomfortable. I mean, if you're sick, you are uncomfortable, right? So how do we know if you're actually sick or if you're uncomfortable?
It's a threat to your life.
Threat to your life? That's, because Mechal Shabbos even if it's a threat to your life.
Like the food, like food that
you
eat regularly?
Is that what you're saying? Basic. Before we get to anything fancy, you're getting too fancy. What's that?
What do you get out of bed?
Okay, so a person who's nafal mishkov, that's one possible case, right? We said a person who is in bed, he's sick in bed. He's that uncomfortable that he's in bed. Not just because he's tired for a Shabbos afternoon nap. Okay, he's in bed, sick in bed. Okay, or chala kal gufo, his entire body. He feels, even though he only has a pain in one particular area, it spreads the entire body. That would also be considered sick. In general, if a person is not functional in some way, he's considered sick. It doesn't matter if he's actually in bed. A person who has the flu is definitely sick. He's definitely a chola. He might get out of bed at some point, because what's the point of actually staying in bed? At a certain point, you've been sleeping long enough. Doesn't matter. He's still sick. Right? So that's what we're talking about. If a person is sick, he's not functional, he's in bed, so then that's called chola. If a person is functional, he's operational, he's walking around, he's acting like a normal person, but he's uncomfortable, so that's called mechush ba'alma. That's where the iser of taking medicine applies. This is somewhat the definition, the border between uncomfortable and sick might be somewhat subjective. And achanamim, you have one type of person that he might have. You know, he might have the flu, but he still pushes that. Not the flu, but he might have a level of discomfort that for another person would knock him out. But this guy, he's a hard worker and he pushes himself and he's operating like normally. He may have another guy that gets a little bit of a headache. He's in bed. That's it. He's in bed. I know a few talmidim like that. So, just kidding. So in a chanami, this is a little bit subjective. This is a little bit subjective. Okay, so for a chole, Chazal never applied their gzeira, and for mechush ba'alma, they did apply their gzeira. Okay, fellas, the walk from the base medrash is not that long. Please get here closer to mincha. We can start a little bit earlier. Okay, good. So that was in terms of some of the basics. Then you guys pointed out some other cases. Right, where you're not sick yet, but you feel that it's coming on. A person feels that he has a migraine coming on. So you don't have to be a martyr and wait until you're actually sick in bed. You can take the medicine already now, as soon as you feel it coming on. A person has medicine prescribed for X number of days, which will prevent him or heal him from being a chol ha'shem b'sakana. That also counts. You can take that medicine. Okay, that's all. That's all we discussed. We discussed all this yesterday with regard to mechush ba'alma versus Chole. Okay, there are a couple of interesting gray areas here, which there are machloks in between modern day poskim, how exactly to apply to our life. So first of all, open up to Shin Chav Ches, Seif Chav Aleph, please. Shin Chav Ches, Seif Chav Aleph. Okay. Zach, you have it? Read for us, please.
Shara Adam Ki Lori, Bear Shabbat Notin Agabeha, I am the Shabbat. Chaino Nira Ella Kerochit, Nihil Zero Anukata, Lo Kaishina Mishim Shahi, Pat Samanim, Tikiban Shlovi Tiro, the Shrotan, Ella, the Arab Shabbat, Ikad King.
Okay, so it says here as follows that a person can soak kilorin. Kilorin was some sort of a paste that, or at least when you soaked it, it became a paste that they would put on their eyes if they had an eye problem, some sort of a discomfort of the eye. So they would an eye ache. They would put this paste on their eye. So the way you do it is you would take this. I guess it must have been some sort of a I don't know exactly what form it was in before you soaked it. But you'd put it in the water, and then you'd apply it to the eye. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara, that you can soak it before Shabbos, and then apply it to the eye on Shabbos. Why is this? So there's two factors, both of which need to be fulfilled in order to make this permitted. Number one, that Eino Nira Ela Kerochetz. Apparently, I guess once it was, I don't know what kind of a paste is clear, but it wasn't clear to the onlooker that such an individual was actually applying a medicinal substance to his eye. It looked like you were just washing your eye.
Yeah?
Yeah. Everything okay over there?
This is an iPod.
I don't care what it is, but what are you doing on it?
Taking notes.
Taking notes on it. Okay, gewalt. Beseder, So, number one, it's not clear to the onlooker that you're doing something medicinal. What's the other factor that he mentions here?
Soaking.
What's the other factor that makes it permitted? Look at the end of this if. Okay, right. And also, we're not concerned about this gzeira. The reason for this gzeira of shchika samamanim, because why? Since they only permitted you to do it if you soak it before Shabbos, so there's a heker. In other words, you're doing it in a recognizably different way. It's true that the onlooker doesn't know that you're applying medicine, but you know you're applying medicine. But the Chacham made you do it in a different way than usual, namely that you soak it before Shabbos. Usually you would soak it on Shabbos and then put it on your eye. One second, but here you're soaking it before Shabbos. So since you're doing it in a way which is different than usual, you're not going to lose yourself and end up grinding up ingredients to make the product.
So why doesn't that apply to pills?
Oh, so does this apply, let's say, to pills? Well, I'm rephrasing your question. Does this apply, bisman hazeh, to pills? Can you go ahead and dissolve your medicine, let's say, before Shabbos, and you could take it on Shabbos? So this is a machlokes between two of the Gedolei HaPoskim of our times. In Shmir Shabbos, Kilchasoy Koser Shlomo Zaman Arvach, he says, this does apply. Enoch and Ami, you could do this. You could go ahead and take your pill, even if it's just, you just have a mechish ba'alma, you're not a chole. You could take your pill, you can dissolve it in something before Shabbos, such that it's not recognizable. It's not like you put it in water, now it's all cloudy or something. You put it in a drink where it's not recognizable what it is that has medicine in it. And then you can drink it on Shabbos. Right? Because you fulfilled both of the conditions here. It's not recognizable to the onlooker. And as far as you're taking the medicine, you're doing it in a recognizably different way. And that will prevent you from getting carried away in the normal preparation of medicine and grinding up ingredients. So Chazal never applied their gzeira in such a case.
Is it okay if the pill is not fully dissolved, but you can't see it? Like let's say you put it into Coke.
Yeah. So it'll dissolve. You mix it up and it'll dissolve. Or what you could do is you grind it up and then you put it in.
Some pills have like plastic coatings, you know.
If you grind it up and then you mix it in, it'll be dissolved.
Because plastic capsules are meant to dissolve.
Okay. They dissolve in liquid. So that's what it says in Shmir Shabbos Kilchaser. Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe was not convinced of this heter at all. And he thought that the only reason it applied to the case here of the eye paste is because you normally soak it right before you put it on. And in this case, you're soaking it before Shabbos. But let's say a pill, you don't normally dissolve it right before you take it. You normally just take it. So he thought that was not comparable. And he didn't think that the heter could be applied to, let's say, something like dissolving pills.
Well, also, children are might be more inclined to be makeup when it comes to eyes, because it thinks,
again, no, it's true that for some things they felt that that eye irritations or eye pain indicated a possible sakana. That's not the case here. If it was a sakana, we wouldn't be concerned about the gzeira der rabbanon against shika sanan.
It might be more lenient towards eye.
Rav Moshe is not saying that the leniency doesn't apply because I don't think their eyes are serious. He's not saying that. He's saying that's not the heter of what's discussed here in this Shulchan Aruch has nothing to do with dissolving pills. That's what he's saying. Yes.
What's the issur of soaking?
What's the issur of soaking?
Is it an issur of soaking?
Is what? To do it on Shabbos? The case of the Kilorin? Well, that's our next malach of lush. We'll have to see. We'll have to see the definition of lush. Maybe not.
It's not soaking.
No, it's not a malacha problem. We're assuming there's no malacha problem here.
And what's the problem to do it on Shabbos?
The problem to do it on Shabbos is the gzeira d'rabbanan against taking medicine on Shabbos.
But even if it's liquid, though, there's no liquid tile at all. There's no grinding.
Sure, it does not. No. The gzeira applies, no matter. Even doesn't matter if it's liquid. The gzeira applies.
There's no grinding involved in any of the process.
Again, whenever you have an issur d'rabbanan, a gzeira d'rabbanan, we're not looking at every case and saying, would it be practical in this case that you'd come to the Israel? Would it be practical in that case that you'd come to the Malacha? They applied the Xeris to whatever they applied it to. They applied it to taking, not only to ingesting medicine, but to applying medicine to your body on the outside as well. They applied it to both. So it applies in that case. Besides the fact that I'm sure there are liquids that are prepared by grinding things also. Okay, in any event, that is one machlokas. Here's another one. People asked yesterday about taking vitamins.
Isn't that the show that was already grinding before and now it's liquid because like you just grind it and you go.
What's that?
Is it not an issue if it's liquid now, but it was grinded once before? Because if it was grinded in the past, you've got to grind it on Shabbos.
Okay.
It's an issue of taking it.
I'm not talking about grinding a liquid. I don't think you can even grind a liquid even if you wanted to.
It's still usher.
Again, it's still. They made a gzeira across the board against taking medicine when you have a mechush. Okay? When you're suffering from mild discomfort. Okay, here's another one. People asked about vitamins. Are vitamins considered to be a medicine? So here you have another machlokas between Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman, as quoted in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. This time, Rav Moshe is the one who's mekel, and Rav Shlomo Zalman is the one who's machmir. Rav Moshe Feinstein held in the Igros Moshe that vitamins, it depends what you're doing. If a person is in some way sick or weak, and he's taking vitamins to go ahead and to strengthen himself, so then that's basically medicine. You're accomplishing the same thing that medicine accomplishes. What is medicine? Medicine is something that you take, which is not food, in order to make yourself better, in order to make yourself more healthy and feel better. What's that?
It's a healing agent.
So this you're also taking as a healing agent. But if you're already healthy, and you're just taking it to prevent yourself from getting sick, let's say, or you're taking it to make yourself even more healthy. You're already healthy, but you're taking yourself to be more healthy. It's not relieving any stress. It's not relieving any symptoms, any specific symptoms. So he felt that that's not considered to be medicine. And then you'd be allowed to take the vitamins and Shabbos. That's what Moshe Feinstein. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach didn't see it that way. He didn't see it as an issue of whether it's relieving symptoms or if it's just, you know, making you more healthy or more strong. He felt that it was a matter of, basically, is it food or is it not food? If you could just turn it off, okay? So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, vitamins are not food. Lemaisa, it's not food. Okay, if you're taking it as a dietary supplement, in other words, it's in place of a certain food item, then we can call it food. If it's not in place of a certain food item, it's there in order to, it's a non-food that you ingest for health purposes, that's called medicine. So even if it tastes good, even if they put sugar on it, and they make it taste good, it's still a medicine. So in this case, Rav Shlomo Zalman was machmir, and Rav Moshe was mekel. Okay, so you have two cases here where there could be a little bit of a gray area. Would this be included under the gzeira against medicine and Shabbos? Yeah.
It's pretty clear, though, that vitamins aren't medicine.
Well, depends what you mean when you say the word medicine.
They don't heal anything. Vitamins are the only enhance your health.
So it depends on how you define medicine. You're right. That's how emotion defines medicine. Medicine is something which heals symptoms. Right?
Everyone define medicine?
No, Rosh Shlomo Zalman says if it's not food, a non-food substance that you take for health purposes is called medicine. This is a non-food. It's not a food. You're taking it for health purposes, not to, you know, it's not eaten in the way of normal food.
It's not necessary, though.
What's that?
It sounds like it's necessary to take.
So not all medicines are necessary.
I feel like that's like the logic there.
What does necessary mean? What does necessary even mean?
If you need it.
What do you mean? Need it? What do you need it immediately? Okay, Rosh Shlomo Zalman says this is not called food. Okay, if it's not food, it's medicine. So he answered.
What if you put the vitamin into food though?
I don't see that makes a difference. If you're going to tell me you're going to dissolve it before Shabbos, then you have the best of both worlds. And Moshe would say it's okay, and Rosh Shlomo Zalman would say it's okay. It's out before Shabbos, and then it's mutter according to everybody. Okay? Halach l'maisa, I don't have a hachra for you. Rav Moshe versus Rav Shlomo Zalman. So some say in a situation where you don't have a hachra, so then in America, halach like Rav Moshe, and in Israel, halach is like Rav Shlomo Zalman. Okay? That seems somewhat reasonable. Seems somewhat reasonable to me. Okay.
You just resort to another rabbi.
What's that?
You resort to another rabbi.
Okay. Fine. B'seder. Any further questions so far about issues relating to Mechush Be'alma?
What would Rav Moshe say if a person takes, let's say, a therapeutic dose of aspirin? And also very common. Takes it every day. So it's like a lot. But he has a headache. So instead of taking, a half aspirin, he takes a whole.
In other words, what do you mean by therapeutic?
Okay, let's say, I'll give you some things. A person takes vitamin C every day.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And he feels like he's coming down with a cold.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of taking 1,000 milligrams, he's going to take over the course of the day 3,000.
Mm-hmm. It's a good question.
Coming down with a cold,
it's a good question.
Can you take the medicine?
No, a cold, I don't think, a cold does not necessarily define you as a chola.
Migraine.
I don't think, a migraine is different. He's not asking about migraine. I have a hunch. I don't know. It's a fair question. It's a fair question. I have a hunch, I think, that Rav Moshe would say whatever you normally take on a regular day, you could take on Shabbos also. Once you're taking more than that, you're taking it to relieve symptoms already. I think that he would say that's already met. Even though it's the same substance, I don't know. I can't say 100%. What's that?
I'm saying it doesn't classify the object as being Michael Briam.
Right. I don't think he would say that aspirin is Michael Briam. I don't think he would say. But I think he would say that the Isser is when you take something which is not Machal Briyim in the manner of, in the manner of medical relief. So this is not medical relief. That's what it seemed to me. I went over the Tshuva again before Shir, briefly. Yeah. I didn't sit on every word. I didn't sit on every word
That's
of that.
Why I asked you. Okay. We're in the same boat.
We're in the same boat. We're in the same boat. Okay, that's what it seems to me. I assume that that's what he would say. Okay. Interestingly enough, if you look, the 39 Malachas book, the Gray Book, Rabbi Ribian. So it's a very nice book. So he, on this issue of vitamins, he only quotes Rav Moshe. He doesn't even quote in the footnotes of Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. Which I thought that was very surprising. To not even quote, there's a dissenting opinion, Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, that's a major, Bizman Azeh, who does Hilchas Shabbos without quoting Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa? So he doesn't even quote a dissenting opinion. He says, what's that? He quotes Shmir Shabbos all over the place.
Who wrote
Shmir Shabbos? Of Neuvert, of Yeshua Neuvert.
He
was a well-known Posek, and a Talmud of Shlomo Zalman
Arbach. It's a good name.
Rav Posen Sefer.
I don't know which Sefer you're referring to.
Take the little black one.
I'm not familiar with the little black one. I don't know.
Show you the
base. Okay. Okay. What about a case of a chola shein bo zakana? So we said that in a case of an actual chola, a case of somebody who is defined as a chola shein bo zakana, so Chazal never applied their gzera against taking medicine. You can definitely take medicine on Shams. Okay. Is that it? Is that all you can do? Or maybe is there anything else that we'd be lenient on? So there's a long and confusing sif in Shulchan Aruch that we should look at together. Shin Chav Ches, Seif Yud Zayin. Yes.
Sorry, about Neosporin
on a cut. Neosporin on a cut, yeah. Okay. So,
get infected.
Okay, if it's a surface cut, you get a paper cut or something like that, so you can go ahead and put that and wash it out with soap, and that is sufficient. Shmir Shabbos says you don't put on cream in such a circumstance. Obviously, if you're talking about a more significant cut, that requires real medical attention. Okay, so you'd be able to go ahead and put on whatever needed to get put on. If it's a serious gash, you can even go ahead and. No, we would consider that to even be a case of potential sakana. A person can get a significant infection. That could be a dangerous circumstance. I'll tell you, Maisa Shahaya. A few weeks ago, my daughter was playing outside, and somehow she bumped into this banister. It was like this banister right outside her house, which, like, the end of it is sort of jagged. She got a nice gash on her head. So she comes into the house. She's bleeding from her head. Oh, boy. Okay, so we calm her down. And we wash it off. Okay, whatever it is. We try to, it's by her hair, so it's hard to wash off and clean, but we tried. Did it wherever we could. All right, she calms down. And then I took the kids to the park. In the park, I met a friend of mine who lives here in the neighborhood, Rabbi Dr. Howie Apfel. He's a Rebbe, actually. He's a Rebbe. Anyway, fascinating. He's a prominent cardiologist who also happens to be a Talmid Chacham and a Rebbe in Torah Shana. Interestingly enough. So I saw him, I said, hey, can you look at this cut on my daughter's head? She just got this great cut. So he said, he looked at it, he said, wow, you know, that's a significant gash. You take her to Tarim. This is a threat of potential infection. I'd say take her to Tarim, even on Shabbat, even on Yontif. It was Yontif, not Shabbat. So it must have been Simchas Torah or something, I don't know. How could this have happened? Maybe it was first day Sukkot. It was Yontif. We had a baby, Shabbos Chol Hamoed. So it was either, must have been before we had, must have been the first day Sukkot this happened. It was Yontif, definitely not Shabbos, it was Yontif. Anyway, he said, take her to Tarim, even on Yontif. I said, wow, you're on Yontif. You know, this just happened an hour ago. Yontif is over in, you know, 2 hours. Okay. I said, okay, it's close enough that you can wait till after Yontif. So we went after Yontif to Tarim, and the doctor gave me Musar, I should have come on Yontif. Now, he wasn't from, so I don't know if he took seriously the issue of Yontif. I said, don't you have a 6-hour window? That's what I heard from my friend, the doctor. He said, yeah, it's true, they have a 6-hour window, but the sooner the better. If it's a serious gash, there's a concern for infection, that's a serious concern. That's a real, that's a very serious health concern. And a person would do what needs to get done. What's that?
I didn't go bring Shabbos, I had to go to the hospital. Like, I think it's 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I got this scar on Shabbos, my parents didn't want to take me to the hospital.
Okay.
I threw a rock in my head on Shabbos. I got staples, like, right over here. I just walked to the guy's house. So.
Okay, good. If you want. Okay, so let's talk about this. This is what I want to talk about, the case of a chola, and the case, we'll get to the case as well of a potential sakana. Yeah.
Are band-aids discussed?
Band-aids are discussed.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Mishnah Berurah, I assume?
No. Not exactly in the Mishnah Berurah. But okay, we'll discuss band-aids also. We'll discuss it. Shmir Shabbos Tuchsa has a whole section on band-aids. We'll get to band-aids. Okay, one thing at a time.
If it's like a can you put the Neosporin onto the band-aid and then put the band-aid on so that it's like a dab, but it's not rubbing it in.
There's two separate issues. One is the mimareach problem.
No, but I'm saying
and one is the refuah problem. Again, if it's just a...
No, it's a serious cut.
Okay, serious cut, okay. Yeah, serious cut.
They have band-aids that come with like the Neosporin on them already.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the way to go.
Yeah. All right, again, in terms of Hilchos Refuah, medicine on Shabbos, it's a simple, very superficial cut, a paper cut. You don't really need to put on the Neosporin. Okay.
Oh,
you
can, yeah, but I'm saying
if it's a cut where you do need to put something on it to prevent infection, so then yeah, you can apply the Neosporin. We'll talk about the Mimarech issue when we get to Mimarech.
Band-aids, anyways, usually like smaller kids.
Band-aids, what?
When's the last time you used a band-aid?
I don't have a date for you.
Exactly.
I've used band-aid. You get a cut, you can put on a band-aid. People, you know, adults put on band-aids sometimes. What are you talking about?
Yeah, not so often. No, there's plenty of them. Not despicable knee band-aids.
All right.
Yeah. What?
Not despicable knee band-aids, but they're still band-aids.
Yeah, but you get a shot.
Listen, guys like Josh don't put on band-aids.
You'll get shots on Shabbos. Like,
that's true.
Okay. All right, let's talk about Chol HaShem Bo Sakana, one thing at a time. One thing at a time. We're skipping around a little bit here. One thing at a time. Chol HaShem Bo Sakana. Shein bo sakana. Chesner, you know you love Hello Kitty.
No, I don't.
Go ahead, Sif Yud Zayin, read for us.
Read for us. Cholosh nafo me chamas chaleo v'mishkav ve'ein bo sakana.
Okay, so let's say a chole shenofa machmas chole in mishkav, that he's in bed. He's in bed because of his illness, even though he has no sakana. There's no danger to his life. Read the Rama as well.
O she yesh lo mechosh she mitzta'er v'chala mimenu kol gufo she'azaf al pesha v'alech kenafo mishkav.
Okay, so again, the Mechaber and the Rama here are just defining for us what is a chola. Or a person who is mitztayer v'chola mimenu kol gufo. His whole body feels the tsar due to this difficulty, due to this problem. Continue on. Okay, so Chil Shabbos you cannot do. For a Jew to do Malacha, there's only one heter for that, and that is Pikuach Nefesh. Okay, threat to life. If there's no threat to life, you're not allowed to do Malacha, even if it's very inconvenient, even if you're really not feeling well and it hurts a lot. He says here, even a Sakonas Eivar, in other words, there's a potential that a limb will become dysfunctional. What you can do is you can have a non-Jew do malacha for you. You can have a non-Jew do whatever is necessary. Yes?
Let's say someone's wife is pregnant, like 9 months, like 8 months in, and they're having contractions, mm-hmm. and they don't know when the baby's going to come. Like, are they allowed to drive to the hospital on Friday night?
Okay, so you're asking a fair question. Again, a little bit ahead of us, because we're going to still talk about Cholesh Yesh Bo Sakana. But I'll just mention the following, that a chola sheyesh bo sakana, first of all, a woman in childbirth is definitely a chola sheyesh bo sakana. Childbirth is very dangerous. Okay, it's Baruch Hashem, Bizman Hazem, medicine is great, and women generally do okay in childbirth, and the baby usually, Baruch Hashem, ends up being born okay. But there are complications, even Bizman Hazem, you should understand that it's not a simple matter. That's why a woman says, Brichas Agomel. Afterwards, it's a serious thing. A woman definitely is considered to be a Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana. Now, we're willing to be Mechal Shabbos for Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana, even if we don't know for sure. It's possible that there's Sakana. Potential Sakana. Okay, it's good enough. If you have a doubt whether there's Sakana or not, you take care of the doubt. You do it. So if they think that there's a reasonable chance that they're in labor, they should drive to the hospital. 100% they should go to the hospital.
If you took poison on purpose...
Took poison on purpose. Okay.
Are you allowed? Is someone allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save your life?
Yes. Yes. The answer is yes. Okay. Then
no, I'm saying because not.
You're trying to commit suicide.
No, not that it's parallel. But I'm saying for childbirth that. You didn't intend for it to be on Shabbos, but you purposely
that's a purpose.
It's not a direct correlation. I'm saying you purposely put yourself into
holy. Okay, what
status?
What I would like to mention, based on Josh's point, is as follows: you cannot purposely do something before Shabbos that'll put you in a position where you need to be mechal Shabbos afterwards. So, for example, let's say a person is going to have a medical procedure done. And it doesn't matter when it's done. It can be done now on Thursday, Friday. It can be done next week, Sunday, Monday. It doesn't really make a difference. But if it's done, once the procedure is done, he'll be in a situation where we need to be Mechal Shabbos for him afterwards. So we don't go ahead and do it on at the end of the week. We'll wait until after Shabbos to do it. That's true. Truth is, that's true. Even if it's not gonna be a Cholesh Yesh Bo Sakana. Even if you're just gonna be uncomfortable over Shabbos. That's another reason not to do medical procedures before Shabbos. For example, you're going to have your wisdom teeth removed. Right now, you're not in any pain. Afterwards, a couple of days, it's very painful. So, not for Josh, I'm saying, for other people. So, what's that?
It wasn't too bad.
Not too bad. A couple of days, you're very swollen, it's hard to eat, you know.
I went to school the next day.
All right, that's what I'm saying. Some people find it to be very uncomfortable. So, So it would be recommended not to do so Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 days before Shabbos. One should not have it done. And let's say you can't schedule for any other time. That's the only time you can schedule. Okay, it's not across the board, yes, sir. But you can schedule it for different times. You should schedule for the first half of the week as opposed to the second half of the week.
Wait, well, to raise your risk in order to not do it, but it's not. It's,
what do you mean?
I'm saying like
in a case where there is a threat to life.
It's not a threat to life, but I'm saying like your percentages could be different like week to week. Like not obviously not wisdom teeth, but a more serious procedure. If so, you don't have to have it. Like you're not gonna die if you don't have it. If you don't have it this week. You could have it next week, but it's every week that you don't have it.
Guy has cancer and they want to do surgery to take out the cancer. If they do it on Thursday, then he has a 80% chance of recovery, and they do it next Monday. He only has a 75% chance of recovery.
Yeah, or
say they should do it on Thursday.
Or if you have like kidney failure, you're on dialysis all the time, so you could get you don't need a kidney transplant this week because you could just be on dialysis for another week.
Okay, if it doesn't make a difference in terms of his... All right, if you have a specific... Hopefully we should never have this. If you have a situation, you can ask the Shaila at that particular time. The general klal is that if it improves your chance of recovery, do it 100%. If it doesn't improve your chance of recovery, and because of this procedure you have to be Mechal Shabbos, then wait till after Shabbos. Yeah?
Like you said before, we can't go to like Jews to do stuff for us on Shabbos, because if we get hurt or whatever, but like nowadays, let's say you need to go to hospital, a lot of the doctors there are Jewish. They're on calls. Like, is it better to work with a Jewish doctor?
Good question. So if he's going to do, let's say you're a chola she'ein bo sakana, in other words, and you go to the hospital, you don't know if your doctor is going to be, you're going to have a doctor do malacha for you, because you're a chola she'ein bo sakana. You could have a doctor, you could have a non-Jew do malacha for you. So you have to try to, if it turns out that the guy there is Jewish, right? So you have to say, sorry, I only take medical, I only take malachas from non-Jews on Shabbos. In a chanami. I think so. I once had a case, a guy, alumnus of the yeshiva called me up. It was like, I was on my way out to shul, Friday afternoon. He was in the army, and he dislocated his shoulder. So they were taking him to the hospital. They had like a non-Jewish driver, and they were taking him to the hospital. So he wants to know, what's he going to do when he gets to the hospital? What if the doctors are Jewish? What if the people are, what can they do? What can they not do? So that's exactly your question. So Anachanami, we have to look at this sif right over here, sif Yizayin, to figure out what they can do. If we're talking about a Jew doing actual malacha deraisa for somebody who's a chol she'en bo sakana, that doesn't fly. It would be a problem.
Well, I guess if you're going to a hospital, there is more sakana.
So it turns out he went to a specific hospital. First of all, in hospitals in Israel, they try to have non-Jewish staff available for things which are not, depends which hospital, some hospitals more so than others. This particular hospital, it was in the periphery, the periferia, as they say in Hebrew. So anyway, they happened to have a lot of non-Jewish staff, especially on Shabbos. So he was only treated by non-Jews. It was all non-Jews. It was like, he had like one Russian guy with like a cross and,
They were a
couple of Arabs. What's that?
All the hospitals in Long Island, they're all like Catholic hospitals. They have all the Jews that work
there. All the Jews work there. They have more of a problem in America than in Israel. I don't know. Okay, so let's look here in the Shulchan Aruch. And so I can say, actually, we were just in the hospital over Shabbos on that famous Shabbos Cholam Moed Sukkos when our son was born a couple months ago. So it was. We happened to go to Shari Tzedek. Shari Tzedek is already very frum as far as hospitals go, extremely frum. So they had everything non-essential being done by non-Jews, the whole thing. So they have a whole system set up there. They have a whole system. You don't even have to sign anything. You have to certain things that have to get done. You may have to sign whatever you want, epidural. You have to sign. You have to sign anything. They have like an Arab lady there. You agree? Yes. Okay. I'm signing for you. Like shnei edim that you gave her permission to sign for you. Everything is done with non-Jews. Yeah. So okay. So let's read Sif Yud Zayin together. Avram Doiv. Go ahead.
But it's a quote.
One second. Let's just read the Sif. Go ahead. Shin Chof Ches Yud Zayin.
Yeah, I read. Up until.
Oh yeah, you were reading the middle already.
Up until
okay, what we said so far is that you could have a non-Jew do malach for you, but not a Jew. That's what we said so far. Now, what is a Jew allowed to do? Continue on. Ulechalal alav Yisrael. You see that?
Ulechalal alav Yisrael b'sif rabban b'yadayim. Yesh matir mafilu ein bo sakonas eber.
Okay, so what about for a Jew to do actively a Yisr d'rabbanon? To help a chole, she'ein bo sakana. So he says, there are those who permit it, even if there's no sakonas eiver. Continue on.
V'yisham shim yesh bo sakonas eiver, osin v'im ein bo sakonas eiver, ein osin.
And some say, you're only allowed, a Jew is only allowed to do isurim derabbanon if there is a sakonas eiver. But not if he's tam a chole, she'ein bo sakana, and there's no sakonas eiver. Continue on. Okay, and some say it depends. If there's sakonas eiver, then you can do the Issa D'Rabbanon. And if not, he's just a regular chol Hashem Sakana, you can only do an Issa D'Rabbanon b'shinui, right? With a change from the usual way that you do it. Continue on. Our fourth shita, that even if there is a sakonas eiver, this is the most machmir shita, you can only do things which are gezeira derabanan, as opposed to what's often called a melacha derabanan. You wouldn't be able to go ahead and to violate an act which is an actual melacha as defined by the rabbanan. In other words, an extension of an isa of a melacha deraisa. But you would be allowed to do something which is not connected to malacha, but it's a gzera shema that you'll get to, a gzera lest you go ahead and to violate a malacha. So wow, that's a lot of shittas. That's four different opinions quoted here in the Shulchan Aruch. How do we paskin?
Diverse for our shishas.
Ras.
Okay, what's that?
Ras.
Oh. So, sorry, not quoted here. You got to check the Shana Tzion on the bottom. So, divrei asvara shlishis nirin. So he says the third shita. We go by the third. I forgot already. Which one was the third? So you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he clarifies for you. Sifka Nun Zayin. Okay, so he says the halacha is that you can violate a shvus derabanan. A Jew can violate on behalf of another Jew who's a chole, shein bo sakana, a shvus derabanan with a shinui. And if it's a sakonas eiver, then you can even do so without a shinui.
Unlike the Shulchan Aruch.
That's like the third opinion in the Shulchan Aruch.
When you said like the first opinion that was said with
That's if it's an Issa D'Oraisa. L'chalel alav Yisrael. Where are you?
The first, right after the Ramah.
Eim l'chalel alav Shabbos b'Issa D'Oraisa affiliation. That's an Issa D'Oraisa. A Jew is not allowed to do an Issa D'Oraisa. Unless it's actually pikuach nefesh.
So now he's saying, so Mr. Ruh is saying an issur derabanan.
Okay, if there's no pikuach nefesh, you cannot do an issur deraisa. But can you do an issur derabanan? So the answer is that you can do an issur derabanan b'shinui for a chol shein bo sakana. Okay, I'll put this on the board. Chol shein bo sakana, you can do iser derabanan b'shinui. In the case of sakonas eiver, you can even do an iser derabanan b'li shinui.
Stitch you up lefty.
What's that?
Stitch you up lefty.
Okay, and again, the truth is, these are all sort of like, as this, these are the rules, these are the basic principles. These are categories, halachic categories. In practice, sometime, very often, in a case of sakonas eiver, it'll also be a little bit of a chashash of pikuach nefesh. You have to do your best to try to know. Okay, sometimes if a person has a, again, as we said, if there's an open wound, so there might be a threat of infection. Even if it's not an open wound, there might be situations where there could be a possibility of pikuach nefesh. If there's a possibility of pikuach nefesh, so then pikuach nefesh is doche shamas. Then we can do everything. This is a situation where it's yadua that there is not pikuach nefesh. So then, these are the basic clone. Okay, we'll still have to discuss, is there any possibility of violating an iser deraisa bishinui in any of these circumstances? And what about a case where there is pikuach nefesh? Are there any limitations? Is there any advantage to doing so, to having a non-Jew do the required malachas or not? Do we just say the Jew should do it? So all this coming attractions for tomorrow.